Please turn to 1 Corinthians 13 for our exhortation this morning. We'll confess our sins in light of the Word of God as it admonishes us from 1 Corinthians 13. And in that chapter, we're going to read verses 4 through 7. This is the Word of God. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Amen. So we have another translation of verse 4 where it says, love is patient. And of course, that's accurate as well, but I appreciate that the New King James retains the language of the King James when it says love suffers long, because that's what we want to focus on this morning, that patience really involves suffering a lot of the time. And it particularly, in this context, has to do with suffering that is brought by others in your life. He's addressing the Christian community, the church, and he's saying, love for your brothers and sisters suffers long. That's his focus. And that's what we'll focus on then as well, is what do we do when the brothers and sisters in our life bring suffering to us of some kind, and it requires us to be patient, to bear with, to suffer along with one another. It's important that we occasionally examine our expectations about the church, because if our expectations are wrong, we will be frequently disappointed. And we all are willing to state our belief that the church on this side of glory is not perfect. That is a true statement. I think we all can agree to that. The church is not perfect. That is a lot easier to say than it is to experience. The imperfections of the church experienced by you personally are hard. When somebody sins against you and brings suffering to you, it's a lot harder to say that. Now, a humbling question may be this. There's two questions that I believe may help to humble us. The first is this. Can you remember a sin you committed against someone in the body of Christ this year? That's a pretty long period of time, so you should be able to think of something. I didn't say this last week. Maybe you can think of that too, but just that. Now compare that with this question. Can you remember a sin that someone committed against you in the church this last year? Which question yields more immediate answers? Which is a longer list? Is it the sins that you've committed against someone else that come to mind first? Or is it this long list of sins that others have committed against you primarily? Which one is longer? I think that's important for us to ask, because sometimes we are far too good at detecting the specks in everybody else's eyes, but we're not very good at log detection in our own eyes. We're skilled in the wrong aptitudes, is the simple way to put it. And we really need grace to recalibrate our skills so that we will be very good log detectors and not so worried about the specks that are in everybody else's eye. So it's the same with this passage. We need to examine ourselves. The confession of sin that we have each week is not an opportunity for you to think about how this exhortation can apply to everybody else around you. The intent is for you to confess your sins when we confess our sins. So let the Spirit of God, well, the Spirit of God will do it, but let the Spirit of God apply it to each person, and you don't need to help him apply it to everybody else. It's not your job. So let's get back to long-suffering. We need to suffer long with one another because we sin against one another. We can be sinned against in a variety of ways in the body of Christ. Sometimes people will speak poorly of us, speak falsely about us to others. Sometimes people will say unkind things to us. Sometimes people will not keep their commitments to us. They will fail us. This requires long-suffering. Sometimes people sin against us by simply thinking evil about us. All of these things happen, and they can happen frequently. And I would remind you as well that the body of Christ is not just the people, not just the church corporately considered, but the body of Christ is also our family, because we're members of the body of Christ as well. And so this is important to apply in our families also. And so, children, remember that your brother or sister in your home is a member of the body of Christ, and you're called to love them. And if you can't love the brother or sister in front of you, how can you love God? That's the question that the Word of God asks us. So we are often, I think, surprised when people sin against us. For some reason, we're surprised, even though we say that we're all sinners. But the fact is, we must learn to suffer long with one another. Keep going in love. Persevere in love. Listen to 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 9. And here it's speaking about the church. It's not speaking about unbelievers offending you, saying something unkind. It's talking about the church. 1 Peter 3, 8 through 9. It says, "Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil or evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing." This is what long-suffering looks like. When you are sinned against, you don't respond in kind. You forbear it. You overlook it. You continue in love despite what has happened in that situation. And so this text reproves us. If at the very first offense we say, "That's it, love's over, I can't do it anymore," you haven't even begun to bear in love, if that's what you do. Listen to what Jonathan Edwards says about this. "We should not only thus bear a few injuries," he says, "but a great many. And though our neighbor continues his injurious treatment to us for a long time, when it is said that charity suffers long, we cannot infer from this that we are to bear injuries meekly only for a season, and that after that season we may cease thus to bear them. The meaning is not that we must indeed bear injuries for a long time, but we may cease to bear them at last. It is that we should meekly continue to bear them, though they are long continued even to the end." Even if they are lifelong, the spirit of long-suffering should never cease, he says. And so I think that some of us may not be very accustomed to this patient life of love. I would say all of us struggle with this to some degree or another. We just don't know how to suffer for very long. And so if you've been in conflict with members of your family, conflict with members in the church, and you've not suffered long, you've given up, I exhort you to return to the words of this passage and to continue long-suffering in love with that person. And let us never forget the patience of the Lord with us. We must remember that our God is a gracious and a long-suffering God. Exodus 34 says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth." He has shown his long-suffering to his people when he always keeps his promises, even when we sin against him. He has borne so many offenses committed against him by his own people. And think about how he, throughout the Old Testament, always kept his promises. His people would sin against him, he would keep his promises. His people would sin again, he would keep his promises, even to the point of bringing about his covenant promises in Christ, sending his son for this ungrateful people and redeeming them from their sins. "Will you then, who have received such patience and mercy, refuse to show patience and mercy to others? God has forgiven us 10,000 talents, brothers and sisters. Will we forgive 100 denarii? Will we forgive this light offense committed against us?" And so let's pray this morning that we would remember the long suffering of God, that we would learn to bear with one another in love as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do give thanks to you for your patient long suffering with each of us. In your kindness, you have not brought us into judgment, but instead you've made known to us the saving gospel of our Lord. What mercy you've shown! We now come confessing that we are not a very patient or long-suffering people. We confess that we quickly give up rather than loving others, despite the sins committed against us. We ask for your mercy, Lord. We ask that your Holy Spirit would work renewal in us, that we would be like our Lord Jesus, who suffered long even when he was being tortured and crucified. He yet showed love to those who had sinned against him. Teach us, Lord, to do this as well. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.